Good morning. Well, it looks like basketball season is finally upon us. The girls' teams have begun practice. The boys' teams will start doing that next week. It won't be long before home games are being played on this court. And no doubt, many of you are looking forward to that. Now, I can remember basketball season as a former player, including the drudgery of practice, power drills, touchdowns, rebounding drills, learning plays, and the like. And many of these things were not much fun. But all of them, I believe, were necessary, designed to get the team ready for the next opponent, and potentially to win the next game. Now, what does a basketball team have in common with a Christian church or a Christian school like Emmanuel? There are similarities. They each have a leader training a group for a future task. The coach trains the team for the game. Well, the pastor trains the members, and the Christian teacher trains the students for much more than a task. It's their lives and their witness as Christians in the world, but not of the world. We should recognize something bigger at stake here, more than playing a game or graduating from school. As Jesus said, the church, meaning the Holy Christian Church, is the extension of himself. The body attached to the head, growing bigger and stronger as he works through us, the members of that body. Join me today as we consider what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus, his church on earth, and your place in that group. Ephesians 4, verses 10 through 12. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, can Jesus truly be up in heaven and still on earth? Absolutely. That's why he ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. That's quite a statement. And it comes down to this. The ascension of Christ means that Jesus has taken full authority to control everything in creation and also be everywhere, including right here with us. The ascension of Christ means both mission accomplished and a mission underway. When he ascended to the right hand of God, that was the sign of victory, your victory. That meant he paid for all your sins and secured your place in heaven. But at the same time, it also signifies that he's in charge of his church on earth, and also that church's mission to spread the gospel worldwide. The Ephesians 4 text not only explains the Savior's position at the very top, but also your position and mine as members of the body of Christ. How does verse 12 put it? He gave some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Identify yourself in that passage. One of the saints equipped to do the work of ministry. You're a minister. Now that refers to the private ministry of every believer, the calling we all share to bring the Word of God to people according to their needs. Sometimes this private ministry works, Christian helping another Christian. Other times this ministry amounts to a Christian talking to the unbeliever about Christ. Let's skip ahead. Tomorrow, next week, maybe next year, that future moment when you get to tell somebody who doesn't know the gospel what you know about Jesus. Compare that moment to the big game. A playoff game. Something you get ready to do in practice. Well, what you do here with teachers in the classroom, with chaplains here in chapel, with the pastor helping you learn the Word of God in church, that's kind of like practice in the gym. You are getting ready to share your faith and fulfill what the Apostle Peter told you. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's one kind of ministry to the unbeliever. What about your ministry as a fellow Christian to a brother in Christ? And this may be something you're doing already as you help your friend with a prayer or a passage to comfort this individual. We do have the responsibility to help each other with God's Word during times of sorrow and distress. And also, and this is a serious matter, in times of weakness, times of falling, there is the potential for any one of us to get caught up in a sin that begins to take over, that begins to cause the erosion of faith in the heart and begins to push that heart closer, closer to the brink of impenitence. If I get caught up in that condition, I am too weak to help myself. I would need you, my fellow Christian, to jump in and rescue me with the Word. It is to the members and not just the pastors that Paul has said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Well, again, what we do here in the classroom under teachers, in church under the pastors, is good preparation to be a rescuer of your fallen brother. As you get a better handle on passages, you can share with such a person to help them recover by confessing sins and receiving God's forgiveness. Let's tie all this together now, keeping very close track of the real outcome, the final goal. What did Paul say? Edifying the body of Christ. So whether it's your ministry of mission work, or Christian parenting one day, or brother-to-brother admonition or comfort, you can expect the Lord Jesus to work through you and be the key to success. After all, it's His church being built. It's His gospel being shared. He has a stake in that. In all of it, He won't fail. First of all, to help you receive what the minister delivers to you, and then to help you minister that same truth to somebody else in their need. Amen. We can pray such a prayer for that kind of help from our Lord using hymn 412, stanzas 2 and 3, hymn 412.